And you're very welcome back to Lifeline. Now, I should be joined on the line by Frances Doherty. Good morning to you, Frances.
Good morning, Debbie. How are you?
Great. And Frances, you're talking to us this morning from the Peter McFerry Trust. Before we go any further, can you tell us a little bit about the Trust itself and the work you do?
Yeah, Peter McFerry Trust is probably best known for its homeless services. So we provide shelter accommodation across sort of the Dublin region, as well as Kildare and other local authorities. We have also significantly increased sort of the provision of our housing services in the last few years as well, in order to help people move out of homeless services and into their own home. And the other sort of two core areas that we operate in are the drug treatment services and the under 18s residential care. So we sort of started off initially working with children in homelessness, and we continue to sort of operate four under 18s homes at the moment for children who would be sort of defined as out of home and in need of sort of intensive supports.
And how long is it ago? When was it first started?
Peter started the charity in 1983, but he'd been working sort of in the inner city in Ballymun for a number of years prior to that. So it was really just the charity and his work was formalised in 1983. And since then, we've sort of, you know, helped, I suppose, mainly young men, but now the organisation would work sort of with people of all ages and backgrounds, given the sort of changing nature of homelessness in Ireland at the minute.
Exactly. We're seeing more young people being made homeless. So would you help people who are under 18?
Yeah, we would, yeah. I suppose we have the four under 18s services that we run in Dublin, and then we would also be working with children in a family service that we operate in north side of the city, and we'd have 27 children in that facility that are there with their sort of their mother or father or guardians. So we do work with people under the age of 18, and then we would also work do a lot of work with young people leaving the care system, who unfortunately make up a majority of sort of the 18 to 24 cohort in homelessness. So people that would have gone through care or foster care, unfortunately a lot of them do end up in homeless services. So we have a special facility over on the south side of the city, which sort of provides specifically for the needs of 18 to 25 year olds, and that's sort of a unique service in Dublin.
I mean, it's so visible. Like, I mean, it's visible to us all the amount of people that are homeless. And really, kind of last week, it was the last weekend, I was in town Saturday night, and it seems to be on the increase. And it was so sad to see, we're coming into that time of year, the weather's getting colder. And I was walking up to a lane, I can't even remember the lane, it's off Grafton Street, and there was people getting their cardboard boxes, and there was about 10, and they were all young people ready to bed down for the night in cardboard boxes. It's so sad to see in this day and age that we have so many people homeless still, and the work you're doing is great, but there's still so many people that are homeless.
Yeah, and like people sort of bedding down and sleeping rough in sort of urban areas is sort of the very visible form of homelessness. I suppose what people often don't realise is that, you know, people sleeping rough are a very small percentage of the overall homeless population, and that the majority of people that are homeless are in sort of homeless shelters or other forms of emergency accommodation. And then we have had this issue, which has grown significantly over sort of the recession and continues to grow, and that is people that are would be defined as hidden homeless, so people that are sleeping on friends or sort of living rooms or couches, you know, staying with family, moving from friends to friends every few weeks, trying to, you know, not sort of overstay their welcome in any one place. So we've seen, you know, increased incidents of overcrowding in accommodation, where, you know, multiple generations of one family are forced to live under the one roof and maybe a two or three bed house, and, you know, you've too many adults and too many children, and it causes stress and strains on family relations. And then you have young people that may have, you know, lost their rental accommodation because of the increase in rent, and they end up staying with friends or family, and those relations might sort of become strained as well. And you know, quite often we're contacted by people that have would have never thought that they would become homeless, but you know that they're in full-time employment. They've had the good fortune to secure a good education, yet they have no other option today but to turn to organisations like Peter McFerry Trust in order to try and get some form of emergency accommodation.
That's what they say. It's a two-age packages away from someone that can become homeless. I mean, like, you could be living in a semi-detached house and working, you lose your job tomorrow, and it can happen to anybody. So really, has there been an improvement? What's been done to help this situation?
Well, I think the unfortunate reality is that the sort of when the recession hit, not only did we stop sort of building houses, but we stopped planning to build houses. When we, you know, there should have been an assumption that when things did return to better times, that we would be in a position and have planned to deliver housing as quickly as possible, because we would always know there's going to be a need. But what happened was there was no planning, there was no houses built, and we sort of got to the situation where a crisis quickly developed in housing provision. Mm-hmm. And it meant that when the sort of over the last 2 years, a number of action plans and strategies have been launched and relaunched. But because even though that they're good documents, they're progressive in many ways, they still haven't delivered any sort of significant housing, because it takes 2 to 3 years, probably longer at the moment, to deliver housing at scale that is needed, because we're playing catch up to meet the needs of people that have been on the housing waiting list for years. Mm. And then we're trying to keep pace with the need that is cropping up every day with other sort of people and young people sort of looking to get a place of their own, or trying to move to Dublin and get work and try and find somewhere to rent. So I think we're in a very difficult position. I think we said as an organisation that when the latest action plan was published by Minister Coveney, that, you know, things would get worse before they get better because of the, you know, there's sort of a lag between sort of measures being announced and measures being implemented, and unfortunately things tend to move very slowly in the housing sector. Mm.
I know. And so what about these prefab houses that were to be built quite quickly? Have we seen any of them been?
Unfortunately, we haven't really seen anything approaching what we'd hoped. And the idea of sort of modular housing or rapid build housing has been around for quite some time now. And it seems, as I think Peter sort of summed it up, is that's why are we taking 18 months to deliver homes that are supposed to be rapid build? It seems incoherent. Mm. So I think there is movement. There was an approval for increased capital spending by Dublin City Council last night at their meeting. So that's a positive sign that the local authority is going to ramp up spending in housing provision. But again, it's moving very slow. It's very frustrating, and for people that are sort of, you know, in homelessness, it's incredibly frustrating for them to sit and listen, I suppose, to politicians, to read the papers, to be told that things are happening and are moving, but at the same time they're spending years and you know it's going to be damaging to those individuals and those families waiting for, you know, homes to come on stream or rental properties to become available. And you know, I think that there is a much greater sense of urgency that could be applied at all levels, from councillors right through to TDs and ministers, to resolve the issue. Mm. And we still haven't seen that sort of level of energy applied to the issue of housing and homelessness that, you know, was often applied to other big issues that are, you know, political priorities. So we absolutely need to keep the pressure on to make sure things move faster and we have better outcomes for people in homelessness.
And as you said, Francis, the people that we see around town like that living in doorways that are homeless are visible to us, but other, as you said, people that are living in relative cities and that, and the families that are living in one bedroom hotel rooms as well. I mean, that must be so stressful on families. And we know, like, the certain hotels in this area that are accommodating, and I suppose it's given them a shelter. But I mean, it's no place for a family to live in a one bedroom hotel room. I mean, it has to be sorted out soon. I know we've done a lot of programs on homelessness and that, but to me, it doesn't seems to be more of, well, in town. I haven't been in town for nearly, I suppose, 10 months, and the increase on homeless people that you can see, I I was very shocked, now I have to say. And the work you do is great there. Tell us just a little bit about the cold weather scheme.
Well, the cold weather scheme is sort of, it comes into effect every winter, and it's sort of defined as a sort of an emergency response in periods of cold weather. So from November to March, each winter we sort of operate additional capacity in the homeless sector in Dublin. So they're planning to add 200 additional beds this winter in Dublin. And there will be emergency accommodation for people. So the idea is that given that the weather is turning colder and, you know, it's much much greater risk for people sleeping rough at this time of year, that we're doing everything that we can to get them in off the street and have bed capacity in the sector to take people in off the street that's wish to do so. So the cold weather strategy will make additional beds available. It'll intensify efforts to get rough sleepers off the street. And what we've seen in previous years is that the additional capacity delivered through the cold weather strategy will sort of be absorbed into mainstream emergency accommodation come the end of spring because there's a need for those beds to remain in the system. So each year we see bed capacity increasing in the homeless sector, and every year we see the cold weather beds that if we were tackling homelessness they would sort of not be needed come March. Mm. But because the numbers rise month by month, those beds are required to remain in the system. So what we are effectively doing is ramping up service provision in winter in order to get people off the streets. But those beds will remain in the system until, you know, homeless numbers start to decline.
Start to decline a little bit. And how do you keep the trust going? Are you government funded or is it through Dún? As we know, this Christmas is coming, we do some stuff there.
Yeah, well, it's a combination of funding. We do receive significant sort of funding from state, local authorities and state agencies, and that's to deliver services on behalf of those bodies. But we sort of have to fundraise sort of significant funding as well in order to deliver the best quality services that we can. So we would go over and above the standards required to make sure that people have the best chance possible of exiting homelessness. And we would also operate a number of services that don't receive any or very little by way of state funding. So fundraising and donations from members of the public are, you know, vital, and they're especially vital at this time of year because along with the cold weather strategy, Peter McVerry Trust has always sought to respond each winter over and above what would be happening in the sector. So we go out and try and identify gaps in service provision or specific needs and open new services to respond to those needs. So for each of the last few years, we've been able to use donations and fundraising income to open services for people in December. So we've opened services in Dublin City Centre in the north side of the city and in Kildare in recent winters in order to respond to the growing need for homeless services. So at this time of year, my colleagues in the fundraising department would be hoping that the public would continue sort of to support us, and people have been incredibly generous, and we're very fortunate that given the pressures that people are under in their own homes and in their own incomes, that we have seen our fundraising income increase throughout the recession as people want to respond and help people that are in homelessness. Mm. They've been turning to organisations like Peter McVerry Trust to make donations. So now in the next sort of few weeks, the fundraising department will be trying to sell tickets for the annual Christmas Carol concert, which takes place in St Patrick's Cathedral on the 3rd of December. And we also are very successful in selling sort of our Christmas cards, which are sponsored by the Gaiety and the Olympia Theatres. And that means that because of that sponsorship, that every sort of pack of cards that we sell, the full sort of cost of those cards are going then directly into supporting and helping people that are in homeless services. So if people were interested in sort of supporting the trust or finding out more about our work, they could visit our website, which is pmvtrust.ie.
pmvtrust.ie, and they can buy the cards on there as well. Yeah,
Yeah, you can see the full selection of the cards on the shop section, and you can buy the cards and tickets for the Christmas Carol concert, which is always really a great event, and it's hosted by Pat Kenny, and Father McVerry speaks during the Carol concert, and the quality of the acts is normally fantastic, so I don't see it being any different this year.
Great, and that takes place on the 3rd of December. Now, if there's anyone listening this morning, Francis, and they're finding themselves in hard times and they need your help, do you have a number they can ring?
Yeah, they can call us at our head office on 823-0776. So that's 823-0776.
0776. And if anyone wants to make a donation, to go on your web address?
Yeah, they can call that number and ask for the fundraising department, or they can visit the website as well.
Okay, and the Christmas cards can be got from there as well. Listen, Francis, thanks a million for talking to us this morning from the Peter McVerry Trust, and hopefully the concert will go well for you, and keep up the good work, and hopefully we will see a change in homelessness in next year. Hopefully something has to be done. It seems to be just getting out of hand at this stage, and too many people are homeless. But the work you're doing is absolutely great there, Francis. So thanks for talking to us this morning on Lifeline.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, Francis, thank you. And that was Francis Doherty there from the Peter McVerry Trust. And as he said, if you want to find out any more, you can go on to pmvtrust.ie. That's pmvtrust.ie. If you need their help or you want to find out about donating, you can give them a ring on 018230 that's 018230776.